Hi, my name is Mark Wood. I've been attending CCV for about 10 years now, and I teach high school at Liberty as well as coach men's basketball there. I grew up in a Christian home all my life, and it wasn't until my late 20s when I started to attend CCV that my faith really took off. I had people mentoring me in my life, challenging me, holding me accountable. I got into my Bible more, I joined a small group, and I watched my faith really take off from there. I feel God has called me to be a Christian role model to the young men and young women. I believe that we are the only Bible some of these kids will ever read. And so our purpose is to build men of integrity, work ethic, selflessness, and compassion. I think the young people are looking for heroes. I think that they search hard for people who walk the walk. I think that they need to see behavior that is modeled, that is full of integrity, that has someone who actually is living out their faith. Our media doesn't help us out at all. Professional sports isn't helping us out at all. They need real life role models to look after. We started a Tuesday morning Bible study for coaches and teachers on our campus that God is blessed with having sometimes 20 people involved in that. It's a sacrifice. It's getting up an hour before you're supposed to. It's getting to school and an already long day and seeing these teachers go through that. When I look at the life of Abraham, I see a guy who didn't ask questions. When God told him to do something, no matter how outlandish the idea may have seemed, he was obedient. And there are times where we see things come into our lives where they may not make any sense at all, but we got to stay obedient to God. It might be a person who enters your life who's difficult, who needs something and you don't understand it at the time, but years later you realize that God had his hand in this all along. I feel that God has called me into a profession that it sometimes did not make sense to me, but I feel it's important to be obedient and to follow what he has in my heart and to do his work accordingly.
Maybe you watch that video and like Mark, you say, you know what, I wish my faith was stronger. I wish I had the courage to be bold about my faith at work or my faith at school or my faith around my friends. I want to talk to you today about strengthening your faith. You see, faith is a lot like a muscle. It can grow and get stronger. It all depends on how much you use it. One of the questions I'm asked a lot is, why is this happening to me? I don't understand how this could happen. You see, if you don't understand how God wants to build your faith, it's easy to get discouraged. You become restless. You become fearful about the future. We're in this series of heroes, and we're talking today about Abraham, and I believe that the life of Abraham is an incredible story about trusting God and living by faith. In fact, if you were going to carve a Mount Rushmore of faith, Abraham is probably the first person you would put up there. Abraham was the founder of the nation of Israel. He's seen as the head of three religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. His name is mentioned 308 times in the Bible. In fact, God made a fourfold promise to Abraham. He said, "You and your descendants will be given land, you'll become a great nation, you'll enjoy a special covenant with me, and you will bless all nations." You see, Abraham was willing to live by faith and trust God, even though he didn't understand what God was up to. Faith is stepping up and facing impossible challenges without fear. Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. The Bible says, everything is possible for the person who has faith. So where do you begin in this journey of faith? How in the world does God build our faith? I think it all begins with a dream. God always starts with a dream. Nothing happens until somebody starts dreaming. You've got to have an idea or a vision or a goal of how God wants to work in your life. Now, why is a dream so important? Because I believe dreaming allows us to think beyond. We set goals, we dream, we plan, but dreaming lets it go way beyond our goals. Dreaming allows us to see more possibilities. It gets us out of our routine. It helps us maximize our lives. In Genesis chapter 12, we see the dream that God gave to Abraham. He said, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to a land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you." Abraham was 75 years old when he followed God's call to move his entire family and all of his possessions to a place he did not go. We understand later that he was in Iraq by the Euphrates River, and he moved from there all the way to Shechem, which is in southern Israel. That took a lot of faith. Think about it, traveling to a different country without a map, without a GPS, leaving your homeland, your friends, and your family, never knowing whether you would ever see them again. You see, if God gives you a dream to do something, it will require faith. It'll be so big, you can't accomplish it on your own. Because, you see, if you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need faith. George Mueller said, "Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is not glory for God in that which is humanly possible." In other words, if we do something in our own strength and say, "Wow, God was incredible," he says, "Wait a minute, God can't get the credit for that because you did it." Faith begins where man's power ends. That means you do all you can do, and then you let God take over and do what only He can do. The Bible puts it this way: God is able to do far more than we could ever ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. Faith building always begins with a dream, and God's dream for Abraham put him completely out of his comfort zone. But a dream doesn't stop there. If you want to be a person of faith, you need the second step, which is a decision. You've got to decide to do something about your dream. If you dream and take the first step, I believe God will give you the courage to take the next step. Nothing's going to happen until you wake up and put your faith into action. Because for every 10 dreamers, there's only one person that acts on their dream. The Bible says you must believe and not doubt. A double-minded man is unstable in all he does. In other words, if you're not careful, you say you're living by faith, but you say, "Let's go for it." No, let's don't. It's going to work. No, it's not going to work. Let's sell. No, let's hold. You are unstable. And so the Bible says Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham, as we said, was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Faith is a verb. It's not passive. It's not something we talk about. It is something you do. Abraham acted on God's dream for his life. That's why decision-making is a faith-building activity. You've got to let go of security. In fact, I believe you cannot move forward in faith and hold on to the past at the same time. You really can't be a person of faith and move ahead when you're always holding on to the past. A saying that we have around here often, if you know it, say it with me: sorrow looks back, worry looks around, and faith looks ahead. All right? Sorrow looks back, worry looks around, and faith looks ahead. If we're not careful, we cannot move forward in faith when we're always beating ourselves up with the mistakes we made, the sorrow over the past. Little boy was afraid of the dark, and one night his mother said, "Son, I want you to go to the back porch and bring me a broom." He said, "Mom, I don't want to go out there. I'm afraid of the dark." His mother tried to reassure him. She said, "Honey, it's going to be okay. You don't have to be afraid of the dark because Jesus is out there. He'll look after you and protect you." So kind of nervously, he started toward the back porch. He cracked open the door. He looked out of the darkness and he said, "Jesus, if you're out there, would you please hand me the broom?" Now, you've got to admit, at least that's a start. Remember, faith has to grow. Abraham had to leave the comforts of home to go to a foreign country. Peter had to get out of the boat and walk on water if he was going to trust God. The disciples had to leave their dad's fishing business in order to follow Jesus. What if God gave you a radical assignment of faith and obedience? What would you do? Be careful. Most Christians will try to talk you out of radical faith. I didn't say non-believers. If you're a Christian, other Christians will often try to talk you out of radical faith because it makes them uncomfortable. Let me illustrate. Your Christian parents. Your oldest is a great student, making straight A's. They're on a roll. They get a full ride scholarship to a great university. While they're at the university, they also make incredible grades. Fortune 500 company interviews them and offers them an incredible career move. And they come home after that interview and they say, you know what, Mom and Dad? Boy, God's been working on me lately, and I'm going to forego this great career opportunity in the Fortune 500 company, and I'm going to spend 3 years in a third world country working among the poorest of the poor. And as parents, you would say, what in the world are you thinking? Now, we should say hallelujah, but we would tend to say, you're nuts. I spent all that money on you, and you're throwing it down the drain. Be careful. If God challenges you to step out and do a radical obedience, most Christians will try to talk you out of it. Or if you're a teacher, we're honoring teachers and coaches today, and maybe you've taught for 20 years. You're building up that retirement, and you say, you know what? I just think God has something different for me, and I'm going to forego all this, and I am going to go into the ministry and work in a church. And other teachers will say, what in the world are you thinking? That's exactly what Rick Penny did, who gave the communion meditation. Or maybe you leave a great job after 17 years on the staff of a large church and you say, I think I want to start this restaurant church combination to reach people that won't come to a traditional church. And some people will say, you are out of your mind. You got to decide, are you going to obey the Lord or are you going to give in to the opinions of others? You see, faith often looks heroic in hindsight once the results are in. I mean, last week we talked about Noah that built the ark. And when we look at that, we say, that guy had incredible faith. You know why? We know the end of the story. The boat didn't sink. Faith always looks great in hindsight. But when he was building the boat, I guarantee you the people that lived among him said, you are crazy. You see, in the present, faith always looks foolish. 28 years ago, when we decided we were going to start a church in a movie theater, most people never heard of that, and people said, what are you thinking? 28 years later, some have said, you know what? That wasn't such a bad idea after all. If you want to build your faith, you've got to put your dream to the test and then make a decision to act on that faith regardless of what other people say, and some of them might even be your Christian friends. The third step, delay. There's always a time lapse before your dream becomes a reality. And this to me is the tough part because a delay is not God's denial. You see, God always does the right thing, but sometimes it takes a long time. It happened to Abraham. Now, there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. Do you understand what's going on? God says, I want you to take your family and move. Where are we going, God? I don't know. When we get there, I'll show you. They leave Iraq. They arrive in southern Israel. They pitch their tents. Everything is great. What happens? He said, pull up your tents. We are moving to Egypt. No doubt. He said, what is going on, Lord? You see, maturity is understanding the difference between no and not yet. Maturity in our faith is understanding the difference between no and not yet. The waiting room of life reveals what we really believe about God. My first message in the movie theater over 28 years ago at CCV was, you know what, people? I believe someday God is going to give us 80 acres to have a beautiful campus. 28 years ago, you didn't hear of 80-acre campuses. And for 16 years, we met in six different locations. We did portable church, set up and tear down week after week. It took 16 years for God to answer that prayer. The Bible says, be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. I'm good in 2 out of 3. I'm good at be strong and take heart. I confess I am not good with waiting on God. You realize that William and Mary is the oldest college in America? In 1881, the school was closed because of the Civil War, and everybody said, you know what, this school is going to be closed for good. Everybody believed that except one man named Benjamin Ewell, who was the president of the college. And history records that every day for 7 years, he climbed up into the bell tower of the chapel, the college chapel, and he rang the bell to an empty campus every day for 7 years. And in 1988, the doors were reopened because of the faith of one man who wouldn't believe in closing down something that God had raised up. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, why in the world am I here? Maybe your situation is pretty tough. Maybe you've been praying, but you feel like your prayers aren't getting answered. They hit the ceiling and they come back. Maybe everybody thinks you're crazy for believing the way you do. And I want to tell you, you keep on believing because that is the gift of faith. And remember, a delay is not God's denial. Fourth is a difficulty. Not only do you have to wait for God to answer, but you get to have problems while you wait. Isn't that good news? Aren't you glad that you took time to come to church this weekend to be encouraged and pumped up? And you come here, and I say, if you want to be a person of faith, you're going to have problems, and you get to wait for those problems to come. You'll have two kinds of problems, circumstances and critics. Abraham faced both. The first was his circumstance. God said, you're going to be the father of all people, of many nations. And the circumstance was he had no son to fulfill God's promise. The critic was his wife. Sarah got tired of waiting 25 years for God to answer their prayer. The Bible says, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maid servant named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, the Lord has kept me from having children. Isn't it interesting? It's always God's fault. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Because she was struggling in her faith and could not wait for God's delay, she decided to do her own thing. And do you realize the impact of that decision has been unbelievable throughout history? Because Hagar had a son named Ishmael, who is seen as the leader of the Muslim faith. And later, Sarah had a son named Isaac, who is the head of the Judeo-Christian faith. And that war that's gone on for centuries, and I believe will continue till Jesus comes back, is all because of that disobedience. Listen, all of us face difficulties in the faith-growing process. Those are part of the struggles of life. And the question we have to ask is, are we going to trust God's plan, or are we going to go with our own plans? Think of the heroes in the Bible, Moses. Had difficulties. He was in the wilderness for 40 years trusting God, doing what he wanted, and he had no water, no food, complainers, and poisonous snakes. David was anointed king, and a few years after that, he's running for his life, hiding in caves because the reigning king, King Saul, wanted to kill him. Or Daniel, he puts God first in his business plan, in his career, and he's thrown in the dungeon with lions. Or Stephen, he preached the gospel with boldness and he was stoned to death. Or Joseph resisted sexual temptation and he was falsely accused and put into prison. You say, why in the world does God allow all these problems? Listen, being a Christian doesn't mean we're perfect and our family never has problems. Sometime we go to church and we hear, you know what, if you just trust Jesus Christ, your family will be fantastic and everything will be super. That might happen. It might not happen. And I believe the principle here is living by faith means we keep on trusting God in spite of the imperfections in our lives and our families' lives and the struggles and problems that we go through. Why do we have problems? So that God can build our faith and our character. It's the only way to find out if our faith is real. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, for a while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold may be proved genuine. Underline proved genuine. You see, our response to problems validates our faith. It's easy to believe in God when the bills are paid, everything is great, the economy's super, and all your prayers are getting answered. A lot of churches are struggling in this town. In the last 2 years since the economic downturn, our church has been growing like crazy, and people say, I don't understand what is going on. And I say it's because of the people in our church. In difficult circumstances, some have lost their job, some have lost their home, some their family's coming apart, but they are hanging strong and trusting Jesus Christ no matter what happens. And that's the difference. When people see our faith when it's going good, it doesn't validate a whole lot. But trust me, when you face problems and difficulties and economic downturn and you lose the things you worked for years and you still say, I love Jesus, He's in control, we're going to get through this, that validates your faith in Jesus Christ. Stuart Kennedy says, faith is not believing in spite of evidence. Faith is obeying in spite of consequence. What does that mean? God, I don't understand why this is happening, but I'm going to keep trusting you no matter what. Finally, your problems become so bad that it deteriorates from difficult to impossible. Stage 5 is a dead end. Lord, there's no way out. There's no hope. And maybe you're here today. I don't know why you came. You said, why did I come to this church? God knows what He's doing. I don't. And maybe you're here and you're saying, you know what? That's me. I have no hope. There is no way out of my situation. I want to say to you, congratulations. You are in good company. Because many of the heroes in the Bible came to dead ends in their faith journey, and that was where God could use them to do incredible things. Have your Bibles. Turn to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Beginning with verse 10. Look at what God did. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. Really? She's 89, he's 99. That's kind of past the age, isn't it? So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, I don't know whether you write in your Bibles or not. As a kid, I didn't write in my Bible because I was afraid I'd get whipping, you know. It was the Holy Bible and everything was, you know. No, the words are holy. The paper, go for it. I don't know about you. I mark in my Bible a lot now. And Genesis 18, 14, I would put a star by that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He said, I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. And you know what? It happened. Now, do you know what Isaac's name was, their son that was born in their old age? His name was Isaac. You know what it means? It means laughter. Isn't that funny? It's to me. Can you imagine a 90-year-old and a 100-year-old couple going to Walmart a couple days and Isaac, 2 years old, trucking behind him, and people would look at that and go, God has got a sense of humor. How'd they pull that off? Every time she saw Isaac, it was a reminder that God has a sense of humor. God can do what we think cannot be done. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing is impossible with God. And the struggle here in this dead end phase of our faith, don't allow the dead ends in your life to destroy your faith. What do you mean dead ends? Well, maybe this week your spouse said, I'm walking out, and you're alone to take care of the family. Maybe you faced a crisis and your friends didn't come through for you. Maybe you lose your job and your house goes into foreclosure, or you try everything you can to get pregnant and nothing happens, or your son finally makes the varsity football team and then he's kicked off the team for using drugs, and you say, my gosh, this is a dead end. Don't allow the dead ends in your life to destroy your faith, because you could be on the verge of something great. Remember, nothing is impossible with God. You might say, that's exactly where I am. I am at a dead end. What in the world do I do next? Hang on and wait for deliverance. The best response to a dead end is to expect God to act. And too often, when we don't wait, we push ahead in our own strength and we never get to see God work. We play God. You maybe have heard me use this example before. I think this whole idea here of faith, where we get in trouble, where I get in trouble, is when we say, God, you're in charge. Palms up, you handle it. I'm giving this cancer, I'm giving my marriage, I'm giving my finances, I'm giving it to you. I trust you completely. Take care of it by tonight. You know, I get praying that way. I tell God what to do. We say He's God, but we play God. And then if God doesn't do it the way we want, what do? We're back in control. Instead, we got to turn it over and release it palms down and say, God, I don't understand the medical report. I don't understand what my family is doing. I don't understand why my spouse is walking away. I do not understand. And we say, God, I can't deal with it. I'm putting it in your hands. And when you release it palms down, you can't get it back. You've got to trust God. And that's what it means to live by faith. Notice how God worked. Genesis 21. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what He had promised. She became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. Our God's faithful. He keeps His promises. When we put the situation in God's hands, we get to see God work. And we say what? You know what? That was a miracle. Absolutely. It fell in place for Abraham, it did for Sarah, and God wants to do it for you. I want to ask you, what situation are you facing right now that you're afraid to put in God's hands? What are you dealing with that you're afraid to release it to Him and say, I can't handle this anymore, it's yours. Now, if we're not careful as Americans, we're impatient. And we would sit here and think, why can't I go from dream to deliverance in just one shot? Why do I have to go through delays and difficulties and dead ends? Because I believe it's in this delay that God uses that time to develop our character and build our faith. If we went from here to here very quickly, we'd think we did it. Our church is a living example of these steps of faith. This church started as a dream. My wife and I and three other couples in our living room said, how can we impact the city for Jesus Christ? We had no idea what we were getting into. It was way beyond our own strength and ability, and we could talk about it, but we had to make a decision. Are we going to talk, or are we going to do something? Are we going to step out in faith with our money, our time, our energy, and our lives? Along the way, we faced a lot of delays. We went 16 years without land. We would sit up and tear down every weekend for years. We also had to deal with difficulties, threats of lawsuits, disagreements with government officials, janitors that forgot to show up to open the school so we could have church. Sometimes we hit dead ends. We said, God, what are you going to do next? I remember after praying for years for land, we finally found a piece of land where it's now Midwestern University. And the city said, sorry, we're not giving you a use permit to use that land. And we said, God, what are you doing? And so we began to pray some more. And God provided deliverance when four different landowners agreed within 30 days to sell this property on which we now call home. The history of this church has been a journey of faith because God's trying to build our faith along the way. And we haven't arrived yet. We still are saying, God, what do you want us to do next? So you're here, you got struggles, you got difficulties, you got problems, and you say, I don't understand what God's doing. Remember the story of Abraham. God will use your problems and difficulties to build your character. Just because there's a delay and you're not getting the answer yet, doesn't mean God's saying no, and you got to understand the difference between no and not yet. And no matter how much struggle you're going through, remember, nothing is impossible with God. What's the takeaway? What I want you to try and think of? It's this question. Which stage are you at in your faith journey? Take 15 seconds and look at that blank and look over those steps. And would you write in where you are? Maybe you're dreaming right now. Maybe you've been dreaming for a long time, but you need to make a decision and do something. Or maybe you've made a decision and you're waiting for that delay. Or you're having all kinds of difficulties. Or maybe you're saying, wow, today I'm at a dead end. I have no clue what to do next. Or maybe you would say, you know what? Just this past week, God answered our prayer. Write down where you are in your faith journey. When delays and difficulties and dead ends come, don't run from God. Because if you do, you'll miss seeing God work in your life. And secondly, you'll remain a baby Christian for a long time, and you will never allow God to use your faith to take you to the next level. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the word, for these stories of faith like Noah, heroes, Abraham. They were ordinary people just like us, but they were able to do extraordinary things because they put their faith and confidence in you. And Lord, I'm not sure I'm there yet. I've got a long way to go. And I pray for people that are here that are going through delays and difficulties and struggles. May we hang strong in the midst of this so that we can see you work and you can grow our faith. Lord, we acknowledge you are our hero. You are the one that believes in us. No matter how much we stumble, you're there to pick us up and challenge us to trust you and live by faith. So whatever problems we're having today, give us the courage to turn it over to you and let you handle it, and we'll see you work. In your name we pray, amen. We're honored you're here today and pray that this service has been a blessing to you. You will notice in your bulletin Paul's new church plant idea. It's meeting after this service over in building 600. I want to encourage you to stop by there and hear the great things God has planned. We're really trying to, in this series, honor modern-day heroes. And this week, we've been honoring teachers and coaches. And for those of you that grew up in school, you know the difference that teachers and coaches made in your life. Those that were positive, that invested time and energy, that were a strong witness for Jesus Christ. In my 8 years of elementary school, I had one male teacher. His name was Harold Brown. And I remember in the fourth grade, I said to Harold Brown, I cannot believe I did this. Harold, you are a godly man. Have you ever thought about being a preacher? And he laughed at me. He said, what are you talking about? I love being a teacher. 5 years later, he resigned from teaching and became a pastor. And his first church was my family's little country church. And Harold is now in his late 70s in the same county where I grew up preaching at little churches. You never know what something's going to happen. I want to say this because so many of you teachers and coaches are difference makers for Jesus Christ. And thank you for staying strong and being in situations that are very difficult, of giving kids hope and help when they're hurting. And so all coaches and teachers that are in our service today, would you simply stand that we would have a way to honor you and say thank you for what you do. Would you stand up if you're a teacher or a coach? Awesome. Thank you so much. If you're sitting around a teacher or coach when the service is over, hey, go and say thank you for what you do. We have a special gift for you in Palo Verde 1. If you were not able to go there before the service, if you'd go there and stop by after the service, just a little gift, our way of saying thank you for the difference that you make in the lives of our young people, and may you be encouraged as a modern-day hero for what you're doing. Got some good news. Last weekend, we said, you know what? We paid off more of the debt, and we encouraged you to sign up for a neighborhood group if you've never done that before. And we had 1,650 people brand new that signed up for a group that have never been in a group before. And so that is awesome. Got a lot of emails from parents that said, man, my kids asked me tough questions the first week, okay? Maybe you're here this week and you weren't aware of our neighborhood groups that are designed for you to connect with family and friends right where you live, and that we want to encourage. We have adult groups. We also have kid-friendly groups, and if you'd like to get in, they've only met for 1 week, stop out by the information area, and they'll tell you kind of where your area is. You'll find out who lives close to you, what nights are available. I want to encourage you to stop and sign up for that if you can. We have had an incredible weekend. The first four services were all almost full, and this service keeps growing because you guys are inviting your friends and doing an awesome job. And so we're going to do everything we can with this series of heroes to make it relate to your life and help you go out and live in victory. So realize you're heroes. You're ordinary people through which God wants to do some extraordinary things. So step out in faith and go for it and watch God work. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week. Thank you.